Today we're talking with Zane Silmi, founder of The People of Sacramento, a viral Instagram account which highlights people and celebrates Sacramento culture. Zane is also a serial entrepreneur, founding his first business at the age of 19 and creating a tech startup as well before focusing on The People of Sacramento. We talk about how his remarkable journey in Sacramento led him to success and how Zane uses his platform to give back to causes he cares about. Thanks for joining. I think you'll enjoy today's episode.
In 3, 2, 1. What's up? I'm here with Zane Silmi.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you, brother?
Good, how are you?
Oh, Matt, dude, thanks so much for coming by. We were connected by our mutual friend, David Garibaldi.
Yes.
Quick shout out to David.
Shout out to Art Life. And the Art Life family.
And, you know, everything he's doing with Creator X is really beautiful, too.
Oh, actually. Yeah. I mean, that guy's community in one word.
Let me take a minute here to say hi and thank you to Ashley.
Yes.
You know, she has been nothing but just like super generous with her time. It's like, oh, you know, you need to get a hold of Zane. Let me help you get a hold of Zane. Yeah. You know what I mean?
She reached out. So yeah, shout out to Ashley. Love Ashley. You. You're the best.
Thank you. Yeah, man, I really appreciate what you're doing. So yeah. We were talking just sort of off camera here about like passion for community. And I think a little bit of what we were talking about was sort of discovering sort of interesting stories that are all around us.
Yeah.
And that's something that you're really doing with People of Sacramento.
Yeah.
So you started you're from Elk Grove.
I'm from Elk Grove.
You're like kind of like a coffee shop.
Yeah.
You don't call yourself a writer, but you started a blog, so I'm going to call you a writer.
Yeah.
You're kind of like the coffee shop.
Yeah.
The coffee shop writer cliche. But you made a little change for yourself. So there you stopped being the cliche. And that's okay. That's okay. You know, we shouldn't, you know, let's not hold success against people.
Yeah.
So I was just hoping that we could kind of like talk about the journey, talk about the importance of storytelling, highlighting people's sort of journeys and pathway, and overlay that with the conversation about your personal success story.
Yeah. Well, you know, the journey begins, really young. You know, at a young age, I discovered my passion, which is to spotlight other people's passions. I just loved the sense of empowerment that was involved with community. You know, I really was happiest when I was making other people happy or helping other people succeed. I grew up in South Sacramento, so it's not too far from here.
Yeah.
Right off Mack Road and Franklin. And, you know, went to a private school for, you know, half my high school, and then I graduated from Elk Grove for the last year. So I graduated a year early from high school. And in that year, I started a coffee shop. My early on passion was, of course, coffee and people. And, you know, this is, I can't even remember how many years that goes now. But it was just really my passion at the time. And I was like, hey, I'm an only child, Middle Eastern household. You have college as your option. that is it.
This is what you get to do.
is what you get to do. But my parents were very much open to allowing me to do some things that I loved. So I was like, well, I'm going to get this loan, and I'm going to open a coffee shop.
Yeah.
So
it's still business, right? I'm sure it wasn't that hard.
Still business, right? Yeah. And I worked there, and I owned it for about 3 years, and then it got acquired. You know, I realized that, you know, at that age from 17, 18, 19, that I'm like, okay, cool, 5 a.m. waking up every day and 7 days a week running this coffee shop is amazing. And, you know, I enjoyed it every minute of it, but I'm like, this is probably, there's probably a bigger calling, right, with what I want to do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think with any sort of thing like that, did you ever watch Lost?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there's that thing where he had to go in and type the numbers into the computer, right? And so running the coffee shop was maybe a little bit like that, right? It's like you can't go too far.
Yeah.
You can't get good sleep.
Yeah.
You can't go adventure.
100%.
You got to go back and type those numbers. You got to go back and
you're hitting
and
brew it right on the head. It's like, okay, cool. You know, you have friends. We're going to LA for the weekend.
Nope.
We're going here for the weekend. Nope. We're going out tonight. Nope. Send it's not picks. Happening, right? Exactly. You know, it was just, you know, you're married to work. And, you know, my entire life, my whole life story pretty much is that, is I've become very addicted to whatever my career is at the time. And I'm still like that till today, but you know, it's about finding what your true passion is. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what we were just discussing is, you know, you incorporate the community aspect of things, the passion side of things, and, you know, doing what you really, really love. And, you know, you get your career and what makes you happy.
Yeah, yeah. So what came after the coffee shop?
So after the coffee shop, I actually did go back to school for a little bit. And then I dropped out about 3 months later. So there was that. And then I was like, okay, what is it next? And then I've actually founded a tech startup with two of my friends called Extra Plate. And I was part of that project for about 2 years as well. That was, you know, on-demand food, this, you know, early on.
Kind of like Postmates or?
Sort of, but it was more so it allowed people to cook in their homes.
Okay.
And they could sell this food to people in their community.
Oh, so yeah,
very,
yeah.
Very, very grassroots.
Very cool.
And that was really early on, too. So,
hey, let's stop on that for a second, actually, because that's a really great concept. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what so far the sharing economy has really disrupted a lot of things.
Yes.
And the social consequences of the sharing economy haven't always turned out to like what we were promised, right? Yeah. But I think in what you just described is sort of an example where, hey, this might bring us closer together.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at where I am right now, mm-hmm. I don't know, say I'm hungry at, you know, the middle of the day.
Yeah.
I can go to Stockton Boulevard. No, thank you. I can go down to Fruit Ridge. No, thank you. I can go up 65th into East Sac and try and find something, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe Selma, two doors down, is selling tamales.
Yeah.
You know, and she can make a little bit of change and you know, we can help like take the, you know, really bring the community together and I can like make a friend in a way that I might not have otherwise 100%. Made.
So that was the entire concept. You know, what we wanted to do with Extra Play was really unite the community on a culinary, you know, mission, right? Like now I have my neighbor next door that has food, is cooking home cooked meals. And I can know that they're cooking and they have a plate available for me.
Right.
So, you know, you're having, you know, all these different types of cuisines coming out of nowhere, right? You know, because, you know, you'd find the most random cuisine, which that person's not going to go open a restaurant. But if they're cooking it for their family tonight, you could try that cuisine.
Right.
You know, vegan options, gluten-free options, all, you know, it was limitless when it came to what the possibilities were. But at the end of the day, it was all community. But with that, you know, it was just like Uber, just like Lyft, just like Airbnb. You know, there was a lot of restrictions on, you know, what you can and can't do within
like
your home.
Like food safety stuff.
Food safety and all of that. And with our technology, believe it or not, it was actually safer to eat from our app than from a restaurant because there's technology behind it.
Yeah, but there's
with
also,
that technology, it tracks every ingredient that's in it. Yeah. So if, you know, let's say me, you, and five friends go out to dinner and restaurants tonight. We all order off the same menu, and we all order different things, or we order the same thing, and one of us gets sick, we're going to call that restaurant tomorrow. They'll be like, wasn't us.
Yeah.
You know, with, you know, the technology and why technology is changing the world is, let's say the five people ate off that app last night. They call in. We're like, oh, well, you know, Zane actually had lettuce on his, and nobody else did. So we now know where or what maybe caused that illness, and we could figure it out. Maybe that could be a much bigger thing. But yeah, anyway, with Extra Play, awesome experience, awesome community that was built with it. It actually ended up getting acquired as well from a company in the Bay Area, and they took it to an entirely new level. And I have not checked on it recently, but it was fun. It was a fun time while it lasted.
That's very cool. Yeah. That's very cool. You know, the sort of like the food safety concerns, you know, it's like, okay, that's one element.
Yes.
Right? But let's be honest, you know, there's also money behind it, right?
Like of course.
I'm sure the restaurant association isn't any fan of your little app, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there, you know, all of a sudden, before you know, just like with what happened with the pasteurized milk thing, you know, you can't drink your own unpasteurized milk now.
Yeah.
You know, you can't sell it on the side of the road, you know? One, there's medical reasons, but two, there's also
taxis to Uber, right?
It's just how the industry
and money works, right?
Yeah. Anything where there's like a vested interest of a vested interest in community of dollars.
Changing,
let's call it.
Changing, you know, ways of human habit is another thing, right? There's always going to be a million things that are going on in the background.
Yeah. Yeah. So what came out? Okay, so coffee shop.
So coffee shop, then tech startup, Extra Plate.
Then what happened?
And then during that time, I had already started People of Sac.
Okay.
So
it was just kind of like a side project.
Oh, man, People of Sac is really, really funny how it started. So the People of Sacramento was started in early 2014. And with that, what happened was, you know, I was in Tupelo. Actually, I was in Tupelo, which is an East Sac coffee shop.
Yeah, off Elvis.
And I was talking to my friends about this idea. And then the next day, we were at Temple, and I was talking to them about this idea. And Temple's on K Street. So, or actually, S Street. That was the S Street location. K Street wasn't even there yet. So we were on S Street, and, you know, I'm just like, yo, like, you know, what do you guys think of this idea? It's like 3-4 friends, and I'm like, you know, this is the second day I brought it up. Like, what do you guys think? And they're like, I mean, what are you going to do with, you know, a vlog? Like, you know, how many people start vlogs that are just, like, what's your goal? And I'm just like, I have no idea. I'm like, I just, this tool on the internet called Instagram is getting popular, and we should probably use it for something.
And this was just, what, 4 years ago?
This is almost five years ago. Yeah. So almost 5 years ago, and I was like, all right, well, I'm going to make this Instagram account called The People of Sacramento, and kind of see what happens. So, you know, it's funny. I started it, and you started posting some photos, starting to, you know, bought an icon, started shooting photos around Sacramento. I was like, all right, this is cool. You know, Instagram is not the app you know it today. It was a much, 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 much different app.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
well, when Facebook bought it too, it changed
dramatically. Oh, it changed a lot, but I mean, it had changed a lot even before that. I mean, it's, you know, Instagram back then was, you know, photos going down a feed, all your friends seeing your photos. If I post a photo and I have 200 followers, I'm getting 200 likes.
Yeah.
You know, it was like that.
It wasn't like an open ecosystem.
It wasn't with algorithms or, you know, how, you know, you have stories or Insta stories or anything like that. At the time, it was really just, yo, post photos and
see what happens.
See people. I mean, you build a community, right?
Yeah.
But there was what really tapped me into the people of Sacramento was I was really getting inspired by Midtown and Downtown Sacramento because I was hanging out in Midtown and Downtown a lot more. East Sacramento, Land Park, you know, wherever, Oak Park, Triangle District. And I was really just like, wow, look at all these artists. You know, look at all these people that are business owners. Like, this is happening in Sacramento. And I'm a diehard Kings fan, so I'm like, I know that we've always been an underdog. Like, I know that people don't look at us as, you know, what we should be looked at. You know, we're the Cowtown, right? That's what people look at the 916 as. And I'm like, you know, I really want to show the world and, you know, showcase what the people of Sacramento are really about, with stories and features and you know, just taking people's stories and allowing them to empower the rest of the community. Yeah. I wanted to cultivate creativity. And, you know, with that, you know, just started doing it, you know, came across the first Insta Meet that was in Sacramento, back then. And it was at Crocker Art Museum. I remember it very, very well. You know,
hey, those are actually good events. I went to one in Thunder Valley. I was like surprised by how many people they had there.
At an Insta Meet. Yeah. You know, so that's, I'm gonna get to that point right there. Okay. But you know, so it's at Crocker Art Museum and, you know, where it's like this small, maybe max 40 people that are out there. And you know, I meet a couple of people there. I meet Faith Marie, who curates Visit Sacramento. I meet Good Thompson, who is, you know, William Thompson on Instagram. I meet Taylor McKay, who's, you know, now goes to USC, which is a close friend of mine now. I met, you know, a lot of people at this Instant Meet. And you know, with that, you know, it was really the start to everything. You know, it really opened my eyes to what we can do with this Instagram community, by creating these activations, by showing the community, like, look what we're doing, you know, inviting people out. Because, you know, with Insta Meets, it takes this social thing and it brings it to real life. And now you can actually interact with somebody and you can talk to somebody and, you know, you get to hear more of their story or, you know, how they take photos or whatever. You learn from each other, right?
So not just in the digital realm, but like actually talk to them.
You know, at the time, People of Sac had, 1,000 followers, 500 followers, whatever it was. You know, I had a personal account at the time, and I kind of was telling people, hey, everybody go follow People of Sacramento. Like, check out what I want to do. I'm just going to blog on it about Sacramento, whatever, right? And, you know, so I was at like 500,000 followers, whatever it was at the time, and that was actually quite a bit. Like, you know, people had around that. People had, you know, max 20,000 followers on Instagram. Like, there was no people on Instagram with over 1 million followers at the time. There really wasn't. You know, there was 100,000s, whatever it was. And I mean, actually, that's a good thing. I want to look up when it
blew up.
Who had 1 million followers on Instagram first?
I'm sure they have those numbers too.
I'm sure they do. They 100% do. But it just wasn't the same platform. So, you know, it just kept growing and, you know, talking about community that was the secret ingredient into everything people of Sacramento. You know, I started having my own Instameet. So, you know, I'd team up with influencers or anybody and be like, hey, let's have an Instameet. Let's do this, you know, on K Street at this building or on this street or, you know, in Old Sac. And, you know, Good Thompson started doing Good Tuesdays a couple years back where he has this huge following of people that go out there and all unite and take photos together. And he does it every summer, so it's coming up. I'm sure he's going to do it this summer again. But, you know, it was things like that that really started to transition Instagram from really a social media to a community page where, you know, it was a community social media because now you have people that really get to see each other and get inspired by each other's stories. But, you know, that was just the beginning to a much, much bigger picture with people at Sacramento. As it continued to grow, you know, it was feature after feature after feature and just creating what I thought was a way to spotlight the city, whether that was spotlighting, you know, the Kings or spotlighting new development or new art or new art installations, anything that I could show people on this page that was inspiring. And then, you know, then it comes to like all of the partnerships I've made over the years. You know, I walked in on for an Instamet to Front Street Animal Shelter 3.5 years ago, and I walked in for an Instamet. And they're like, yo, we're just going to educate you guys, take you guys on a tour of the shelter, whatever. And I'm like, eh, that's cool. You know, I'll learn about city shelter. I love dogs. Let me go down there. So go down for that Instamet. Ends up being, you know, a big part of my life now where, you know, I met Bobby Mann and Gina from Front Street Animal Shelter. And, you know, Bobby gave a tour that I've now seen him do maybe 500 times. And, you know, it inspired me to really change the whole path of, you know, another aspect of what People of Sac was, and it came to animal welfare. Because, you know, with the shelter and they have 12,000 animals go through that shelter a year, and that's one shelter. That's not including SPCA and county shelters or anything like that. I was like, man, this is unbelievable. And, you know, with one feature of one of these dogs, that dog can go home. So, you know, that was part of really opening my eyes to using my platform for good and only for good, and you know how I can, you know, make others benefit from this platform and keep it genuine, because you know that was one of the key things behind it as well.
What does it what does it mean to you to sort of like use it for good, but at the same time, you know, you're also monetizing it over time, right? So I mean, I feel like keeping it genuine is probably a key, but how do you sort of balance the two?
So, you know, one thing I promised myself was, okay, cool. You know, I'm going to have this blog and I want to make sure it stays genuine. And of course, naturally, when you start pushing the numbers that it's pushing, if it's at 80,000 followers and, you know, my newsletter has like 250,000 people on it and, you know, it has this big influence, like naturally local businesses that are smart are going to be like, hey, we want to get advertising on here because it has such big numbers. And I'm like, how do I make sure that doesn't happen to where it loses what it was started for, which was being genuine? So I was like, all right, well, you know, any proceeds that I make from the people of Sacramento will never go to me. They will go to organizations or me helping out on an event or me helping with my fosters or having a home.
So you give it all away?
Give it all away from the people of Sacramento.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I say no to a lot that doesn't fit the realm of, and that's
like, what's something that you might say no to?
What's enough money?
No, what's something you might say no to just because it doesn't fit?
I mean, it's a lot. It's very family oriented. Probably, you know, anything drug related or stuff like that.
Cannabis,
stuff like that. Okay.
Or anything that's kind of seedy or like a liquor store or something like that. Something that's not inspiring.
I mean, not even a liquor store. You know, it's, you know, if it's family owned in the story and it's about the people Sacramento, it's a good story. It's 100% going to happen.
Okay.
But I'm talking more so about stuff like that I'd say no to, that, you know, because I've had people offer me $10,000 for a feature and really it wasn't worth it ethically to push something out to where I know it's just a bunch of kids or it's a bunch of families that are following. And like, all right. And obviously my mom doesn't approve of that because I'm Middle Eastern. So she's going to, you know, not be happy with it. So it just comes back to your values at the end of the day too, right? Yeah. So, you know, it's really passion over paycheck is a slogan that you hear a lot, but it's it's very true when it comes to my life. You know, I've chosen to just give, and you know, the ask was rare. The one thing where, you know, that's a prime example is, like, let's talk about the merchandise that came out for People of Sacramento.
Sure.
Right? You know, it was 4 years of constantly just, all right, we're going to do Sac Gives Back, you know, every single Christmas, where we do an Instant Meet every Christmas, and we have all these presents come in and we go give them to the children's home. We have this homeless drive that we do every single year where we're going to, you know, get a bunch of food from local restaurants and go donate to the homeless population. Then we have the features, just anybody that has an active passion, let me hear your story and let me feature it so we can push you forward in whatever your journey is. So that there was a lot of that for about, you know, I mean, 4 years. And then the blog kept growing. And I'm like, you know, there's a real sense of Sacramento Proud that's growing. And I mean, honestly, 4 or 5 years ago, there wasn't. You know, when the Kings were
I remember when I first got here, I couldn't get my mom to visit. She'd be like, "Honey, why don't you come? Why don't you get on the plane and come visit us down here in San Diego?"
Yeah.
It's like, no, Mom. You know, there's a lot to see. You know.
Yeah, there, and it wasn't happening. No. I mean, the image of Sacramento just wasn't there. You know, K Street was run down. You know, downtown Plaza was run down. You know, all this is happening. And there just wasn't that sense of Sacramento Proud. But over those years, over that 3 years, over that 4 years, you know, Sacramento is becoming this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful city that it's always been. But people from the outside are recognizing that now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And, you know, our community and, you know, how we come together and our diversity is what makes us who we are as a city. And, you know, the people of Sacramento, you know, we're one of the most diverse places in California and the United States, believe it or not. And that's what makes the community so great. But going along with, you know, my train of thought, I always jump a million and one places. But, you know, we started, I was like, all right, I see this sense of proud is growing, right? You know, the King stayed, we're getting Golden One Center. You know, this is all really, really exciting. You know, so I'm like, you know, I really, really like apparel, and I've had three or four clothing brands at the time that had failed, and I was like, man, I love creating a brand, but you know, every time I make one, they're never successful. I just drop these hundreds of dollars into it, thousands of dollars at times. I'm like, oh, I never had
Touch of death.
Never had one succeed. I was like, all right, cool. But that's part of entrepreneurship, right? You know, is a lot of the times, you know, you'll fail, and then one time you succeed, and it was worth all the failures.
All it takes is one.
All it takes is one. But, I was like, all right, cool, Sacramento Proud, let's do this. And I'm like, you know what numbers resonate a lot with me is 916. And I was like, I want to know if it resonates with everybody else as much as it resonates with me. And you know, I just asked my friends, like, you know, like, when you hear 916, like, what do you hear? Like, and they're just like, well, it's just home, it's Sacramento, and you know, it's like what we are. Like, you hear those three numbers, and you know, like, that person's from Sacramento, or if you see them have a 916 tattoo, they're from Sacramento. I'm like, all right, well, I'm gonna just come out with a hat. You know, it's one of the first merch items for the people of Sacramento, and that hat was dropped on 9/16/2016, which I made in 916 day, and I had all my partners drop it, and you know, I had, you know, like Downtown Sac and Visit Sacramento and a bunch of really cool people that supported the 916 day and 916 hat dropped it. Like, hey, this hat came out from the people of Sacramento, and that day we sold, I can't even tell you how many, we sold hundreds of them.
Would you do it online or like at coffee shops, or how'd you sell it?
So it was all online.
It's just easier to manage that way.
Yeah, I mean, it was all online for that first hat. I mean, it's a crazy story. People always tell me, like, oh, you know, I think you're a twin, because I don't know, like, how does all this happen? Like, and at the end of the day, I'm the only person that runs People of Sacramento, and I'm at like 12 events in one day, and they're like how does that even happen? And I'm like, well, you know, a lot of things just come together last minute. Like, the photo shoot for that 916 hat on 9/16/2016, those hats weren't finished in production the day before. So I got them the day before 9/16, and I'm like, I'm dropping them on
this is it.
All this hype. I wrote up this big essay about what Sacramento means to me, and I'm like, this is, you know, the first thing I want to drop, and somehow this is going to happen. Woke up at 6 a.m., went to Temple Coffee on K Street, walked in there with a friend, and was like, all right, we need to find a model. So find a girl and find a guy in Temple. Like, I was having coffee. I'm like, yo, can you guys, like, throw this hat on, please? And, you know, I've done this blog. And even at that time, this is, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah. It's okay, blog, you can keep the hat.
The blog had, like, 40,000 followers. And I'm just like, you know what? I have this blog, and, you know, can you just model for it? And they're like, ah, sure, why not? I'm like, perfect. So take these photos, and then drop them, and obviously it was a huge success. And, like, people were like, oh, my God, this 906 hat. And then it elevated with that single merch product, that single hat, like, elevated the brand to an entirely new level, because now people are buying this hat and tagging me in it.
And it becomes advertising as well.
And then it becomes marketing, and it becomes advertising for the blog. And then people are like, oh, and it says TPOS on the side. And people are like walking up to people like, oh my God, where'd you get your hat? And then I'm like, wow, that's crazy. Like, this hat, this one product has been able to do this big impact.
So it's not like you grow the brand enough to sell hats.
No,
like,
I mean,
you put hats out and then the brand grows.
You know, I never started People at Sac thinking I'm going to make money. You know, it was never about that. And it was never about starting a brand. It was never about opening, you know, a business like we just did a couple weeks ago that I could chat about. It was never about, you know, any of that. It was always about just like, hey, how do I create this genuine platform that spotlights people and I can show love to as many people as possible? And you know, at times, you know, I get really, really busy and features aren't coming out every week, but I'm still making sure that I'm finding the people that are going to be featured next. And I mean, if I'm not featuring them, I'm showing love on my story somehow or whatever, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, I mean, I'm gonna open up my page right now because, you know, it's been around for 4 years, right?
Yeah.
And I'm at 434 posts, and that's obviously not even, you know, one post a day for the last, you know, years. It's always been like, all right, I just want the content to be really, really, really strong.
It's like one every 5 days.
I mean, yeah, one every 5 days or one.
It's like 1,300 days.
Yeah. There was a time where I was focused and I was like trying to rebuild a company or not go starving. I was like not even posting on there.
No, it's like any sort of relationship, right? Like, you know? You kind of have to go to it and come back to it when you have time, when you have bandwidth, when you have capacity. Sometimes you get burned out.
Yeah, and you know? I mean, now it's my life, though. You know, I'm posting on it. I post on People of Sacramento every single day on the story, on my Insta story. There's 5,000 to 10,000 people that watch that every day, which is like blows my mind still. Like constantly, like if I go out of town for 2 days and I don't post on it, like I get messages like, yo, are you alive? Like, what's wrong?
Well, we were talking about this just a second ago when you asked me, like, well, why'd you start doing this? Yeah. I was like, well, because exactly that's happening, like what you just described, right? So one of my inspirations for this is Joe Rogan, like we talked about earlier. And, you know, for any one of his episodes of the Joe Rogan Experience, he gets about 11 million either downloads or streams, you know. So on any given night, he beats CNN.
Yeah.
And he has people like Neil deGrasse Tyson on, you know, for a three-hour full-length conversation about you know, his entire life story and his upcoming work and sort of like, you know, commentary on current politics as well. It's not like trying to fit in like a really prominent guest into a 90-second segment on CNN. That doesn't make sense to me, right? Like, we wouldn't be able to have this conversation here, you know, in a 5-minute radio segment, right? So that's kind of like, you know, I'm trying to do, I guess, the same thing. I'm more interested in sort of like the spoken storytelling type of deal, but I mean, fundamentally, we're doing the same thing, right?
Yeah, 100%. And it's really about just featuring those people and their true story and their full length story. You know, not taking the shortcut about it and like, all right, cool, I found your picture on Instagram. Oh, you're a musician. Okay, cool. I'm gonna just take your picture off your page. I'm gonna post it. Here's their at name. Everybody go follow this person. Shout out, right? It was more about like, okay, how do I really tell people like, yo, like, listen to this story and understand how they grew and understand how their journey took them from one place to an entirely new place. I mean, looking back at my life has been super, super crazy. And I'm, I, you know, I sometimes overwhelming to even think about, But it's literally things like that that just kept me inspired, like the across the journey. You know, there was, you know, your failures over and over and over and over again. But with those failures, I learned a lot. And I mean, you hear it all the time. It's like you learn from those failures and that experience, you can move on to the next thing, and you just keep getting better and better and better. You know, and you know, even, you know, where I'm at in my life right now, I'm like, man, if I fail another five times by the time I'm 30, I'm like, I'm okay with it, because when that age comes, I'm at least going to have all this experience that I can continue to move past. Because, you know, another part of it that I, you know, I always promote is like, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're in high school. It doesn't matter if you're 30, you're 40, you're 50. If you're in college, if you want to go back to college, if you want to become an artist, if you want to become a musician, like, don't let anything ever stop you from just trying. Try to push yourself. Take the time. Take that. I mean, how many hours a day can you put aside for that passion? And as that passion continues to grow and it continues to really just flourish, you never know where it's going to take you. It can completely just be like this opportunity can fall out of the sky and be like, hey, this is your calling. Like, you need to do this. And all of a sudden it all works out. But if it doesn't and you fail, you're going to learn from it. And that's the beauty of life.
Yeah, there's a saying in jiu-jitsu, you know, there's no losing in jiu-jitsu. You either win or you learn.
Yeah.
You know, I think for a lot of people, it can certainly just feel like failure.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't take anything from people in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. How do you sustain yourself?
So I actually own a company called The People's Firm. And with The People's Firm, I do public relations, communication, social media for a lot of amazing people throughout the region.
Okay.
Whether they are Sacramento developments, like the Ice Blocks, which is located at R&17th, or Finding Rover, who is a technology company in the Bay Area, or App Minute, who's in a technology company in Sacramento. You know, I have about 12 clients currently, and I do all of their fun, creative, and communications, public relations.
It's like social media, or like, you know, like press release, crisis communications
all
as
of
well.
It, all you of know, it. So, you know, it depends on the client, of course, but, you know, that was something that led from, people at SAC. Is I was like, wow, you know, I loved building communities,
telling people stories,
but building communities as well. And like, you know, one of my first clients, was David Garibaldi, who was already a friend of mine. And we did David stuff for about a year and a half. And, you know, we helped build communities. You know, we helped foster, you know, the already strong following he already had, right? You know, we, you know, because David is someone from Sacramento who has given so much to the city and has been a prime example of, you know, what it is to succeed on one of the highest levels in your industry, but still keep it
real
at home and real and at home.
Keeping it real. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, David literally is, you know, he's creative and he does amazing things. Right. So like a client like that, you know, and building the community and helping with social and stuff like that was, you know, time of your life. And then, you know, going on to other clients, they're like, wow, you know, you've built this community with people in Sacramento. You know, that's the type of community we want to build with our company.
Right. And so like, you have a demonstrated portfolio.
Perfect demonstrated example, competency, right? And then it became one client, two clients, three clients, four, five, six, seven, and just kept growing, right? And, you know, now I get to work with some of the coolest people in the city to make Sacramento as cool as it can be. You know, whether that's holding events or finding the right people to make big ideas happen, or opening concepts. You know, that's of course part of the firm as well. It's all about
opening. What do you mean opening
concepts? Oh, so we'll get to that. So like,
yeah, talk a little shop with us.
Let's talk some shop. So about what is that? What's the day today? It's the 16th. Wow, that's crazy. So it's been a month since I opened Cream at How About Arden. Mm-hmm. So Cream is Cookies Will Everything Around Me concept from Berkeley, California. And if we're going to talk, go into this now, I'm going to go in depth. So Cream was a really cool concept that we seen that was like, oh wow, this, you know, I've been a fan of them for since I went to their Berkeley location like eight years ago. And I'm like, you know, this is a cool concept. Let's do some research onto it. And you know, my partners on the location were like, hey, you know, like, what do we want to do here? I'm like, oh, well, let's actually talk to corporate about allowing us to make this like a hub, right? And make this location be a partner of the people of Sacramento.
Okay.
So what the, you know, cause like any franchise, it's cookie crumble. You know, you have the blueprint, here's a blueprint, cool. You follow these ingredients, you make this how you make a cookie, this is how you put the ice cream on it, this is how much money you make, right?
Yeah.
Here's the signage you put up, cool. Put that in there, walk away from it, let your manager and your staff have fun, whatever. You know, with me and, you know, like the people that I surround myself with, we're just like, nah, like that's not how we do things. We always want to make sure that it's special and there's an experience. So Cream had that aspect of it, and that's what attracted me to it, is it was already an experience. You know, you walk in and you go down the line, you get to choose a cookie, you get to choose a donut or a waffle, whatever, and you put ice cream in it, and then you put all these different toppings on it, so you create something. So there's the experience of going down the line and seeing what you're creating.
Like the master of your own.
The master universe. Of this art that you just want, are going to eat, right?
Yeah.
With me, I was like, all right, well, I want this location to be special. So I was like, how do I do that? How do I make this location, one, all about Instagram, and two, all about Sacramento? And you know, the elements that I've added, I added a big David Garibaldi wall. So there's a huge wall in there that's just a David Garibaldi. And he, you know, he blessed us with that space. So it was an honor. And then I added, Jeremy Stanger, who does amazing art as well. He did a wall in there that's all 916 TPOS all the way down. And then, you know, a few other art pieces in there that are all, type. And then signage, you know, we added neon signs that say 916, Home is Sacramento, Cream Nation Sac, TPOS, like really, really bright lights that like really light up the entire shopping center. Like I was at the movie theater yesterday and I'm getting popcorn in the movie theater and the Cream is located at Habit Arden right next to Century.
So like from there you can
from
see
there, Cream. I'm literally like, I literally turn around as I get my popcorn. I look straight and it's the first time I've been in the movie theater since we opened and I just see TPOS, 916, Cream. Like it's just lit up, right? And I'm just like, wow, that's crazy. Like you can see that from standing right here. And it what that does is it creates that experience. But it created a concept that, you know, we were, you know, able to bring to Sacramento. And as I say, we want to bring a lot of concepts to Sacramento. It's because Sacramento is growing and we're growing at a fast pace. I'm going to help on 16 grand openings by the end of summer, but we're still deprived. We're still deprived of good concepts coming to the city and believing in us, because all the concepts that are here are opening are local restaurant owners, this, you know, the same groups. That are opening up all these different restaurants and concepts, and you're like, okay, cool.
It's the same people over and over again.
It's the same people over and over again, which is great, right? You know, you have local restaurant owners that are opening these places and love it. But I'm like, why are these bigger concepts or these really cool concepts that are in Miami, LA, and New York missing us or looking us over as a market?
Let's map this out for a second here. Yeah. Right? It does seem like it's, and not to knock it at all, but it does seem like there's like, what, maybe four or five, you know, you know this better than I do, but there's like the Wongs.
Yeah.
The Perry Garys.
Yeah.
Henry and Simon DeVere White, mm-hmm. you know, continue to grow.
Yeah.
The Sellin family.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I missing? That's kind of.
I shouldn't bring up at least.
Right. But there's. No knock on them. Those are all wonderful locations. Yeah. Those are all wonderful concepts. But it's like, all right, guys. Like you know, it's almost like a monopoly. I'm not gonna say monopoly because it's not like they're doing something. But they're doing a great thing. They're helping to grow the community. But it's like
they're opening restaurant concepts, right? And all these concepts are gonna help the community grow.
But when are we gonna get this some big international type of like
you know that's exactly that sort it. Of you love, know, when, right? And you know,
what do we need? What does SAC need to do to like bring that in?
You know, so that's, it's a great question. You know, I've worked on the IceLox project for 2 years. You know, the first time I stepped on it was for an Instant Meet years ago, though, when it was really the Crystal Ice building. So I've seen it go from the old, what it used to be, to what it is today. And I basically live there because I'm there every single day at Phil's or at one of the tenants. And they're bringing in, you know, Mendocino Farms, and they're bringing in Warby Parker, and they're bringing in Bohono, and they're bringing in a couple other people that I can't mention yet. But, you know, why is that? Well, you have really cool people behind the project, of course. You know, Mike Heller owns that development, you know, Heller Pacific Group. And then you have David Scanlon, who is the developer or the leasing agent on it, that's bringing in these tenants, and he's seeking them and he's showing them, you know, what Sacramento is about, right? And more, and then he's the same guy, him and Stevie are, for, they're from Cushman and Wakefield. They're the same people that are, you know, doing Downtown Commons, and they're bringing in concepts there, right? You know, placing Haagen-Dazs and Etteray's and Burger Bar and Echo and Ridge and all these different bigger, whether they're bigger restaurants or bigger retail, they're making them believe in Sacramento. And, you know, looking at key examples of the last year and why this is happening, you know, why are these people starting to really actually believe? Well, you know, Phil's Coffee opened right at IceLox. Not a single tenant was around them. Nobody else was open. Like, all right, what's gonna happen? You open up. This is the number one grand opening from any location they've ever had, and that's across LA. That's across the Bay. That's everywhere, even in their own backyard. Why is that? Like, you know, why do we have such successful grand openings? And consistency is a key with these concepts. Why do they consistently stay busy over years? It's because we're deprived of stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I feel like there's some excitement. You know, it's like, hey, we finally got some love. Everyone go check it out.
It's excitement. It's hype. It's you know, they're one, they're hand in hand. But it really is like seeing that this bigger idea, this bigger concept, or these owners believed in bringing their place to Sacramento.
What's a concept that you'd like to see brought here? Like,
something random. Like, I was just in New York the other day, like Shake Shack, love it. Great restaurant. But like, they're in, why I say that is only because it proves to everybody else that Shake Shack is opening, which opened in Sacramento, right?
Yeah.
It's because Shake Shack isn't in Dubai. They're in New York. They're in LA. They're in Miami. They're in all the big places. They're in San Antonio. Why are they not in Sacramento? It's like one of those things that, like, it's like almost like a trophy for what creates, you know, a great city. And it's
like, shows like prestige, when you have, right?
It's prestige. It's like, that place chose to come to Sacramento. Like, and then even with my friends still give me a hard time, like, you know, because obviously I can't find a flaw in the city of Sacramento. They're like, oh, you know, this person's coming to Sacramento. And you're like, oh, wow, that person coming to Sacramento? I can't believe they chose to come here. I'm like, why don't you believe it? Like, what's the big shock, right? Like, why do you still believe that Sacramento does not have the potential to be that great? And, you know, I rant about it every single day of my life, but and I'm obviously very passionate about it, but it's what the future holds. You know, I just went on a walk this last week with two of Sacramento's awesome developers, and, you know, I got to see the projects they're working on, and I got to see what buildings will be
built.
Who
was it? What were you looking at?
Oh, man. There's quite a few of them, but, you know, we're looking at one, buildings that are going to have housing and retail at the bottom. So of course you have 800 block. That's pretty much complete. So 800 block is going to have a ton of awesome restaurants.
800 where?
800K.
800K. Okay.
Yeah. So right, literally the doorstep of Golden One Center.
Got it.
You know, it's 7 and K is Golden One, and 800 is down K Street. That new development. That's, you know, I don't know if you remember where like the ice rink is.
Yeah.
Literally right across from it. Like,
oh, okay. Got it. Those facades that they were working on.
Yeah.
Like Solomon's Deli and that whole
area. Exactly. I mean, those are going to be done, I mean, within the next month or so.
Okay.
You know, people are already putting in their lease to live above them and all of that. But
was that Ollie's? Was that Ollie's project?
So that was Ollie and Bay Mary.
Got it.
Yeah. So,
got it.
You know, it's obviously, it's going to have tough, very, very, it's tough, and, you know, it's going to have a very, very, special feeling and just meaning for the city for a long time, because all he did name, you know, the Harden. But you know, it's great to see, right? Because you know, that's his legacy, and he left an amazing legacy. But he, you know, that's
talk about betting on Sacramento,
right? You know, it's a big part of that, right? Yeah. With Wall and that one and the other. I mean, I can't even name how many more projects, you know, he's touched that have become amazing parts of the city. But you know, Bay is working on a lot of cool projects right now, and so is Shiard, that's at CPY. And so, you know, as they grow and as these developments continue to make Sacramento what they are, you know, that is what is going to take us from being the underdog that's always overlooked to that premier destination city, which I believe we can be.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll tell you what I think we need a little bit, you know, just in terms of just in terms of like a shot in the arm. I think we're doing great. I mean, I came in 2011, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like the ceiling on our economics is this notion that we're like a state worker town.
Yeah.
You know, the state jobs are wonderful. It's wonderful, steady work, good benefits for your whole family, good retirement, right?
Yeah.
But they're not they're not like extravagantly paid, right? So, you know, if you're going to come into town and sell like a $20 milkshake, well, who's going to buy it?
Yeah. You know, it's a great point, right? And, you know, as we've seen Sacramento grow and as we've seen the economy grow, you know, we're seeing a lot more people come to town that are willing to pay for that lifestyle. I mean, you look at downtown right now, look at Midtown Sacramento right now. You know, you're paying anywhere from $1,500 for 500 square feet to $3,500 for something that you could actually have your family in, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that used to be one of the attractions of Sacramento.
You could live on your salary here. Yeah,
And now that's
you look at it. I mean, you look at it now, right? You know, you know, the average person is what is going to make $3,500 a month, maybe.
Yeah.
Around there, you know, you pay your rent $1,500, you pay your car payment $500, you eat, you spend a couple things on a couple field trips, whatever it is.
Goes fast. Yeah.
And you know, you have a lot of people that will, and I mean, they always have been this realm of, you know, people that are living paycheck by paycheck. And, you know, I've been there for sure. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of people that
hanging out at the coffee shop all day, you know, those guys, those guys for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It is what it is. You know, you need to go to the coffee shop for that Wi-Fi. but yeah, you know, can you get connected? But you know, there it's part of a growing city. And you know, you have, more and more opportunity coming to Sacramento. And, you know, I have a friend that is a waitress, right? And she's like, you know, I've been at this job, you know, being a waitress for, you know, 2 years now, right? And I'm like, so like, what's up? What do you want to do? Like,
what's,
you know,
next?
She's like, oh, I need more money, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, well, what are you going to do? And she's like, well, I'm just going to go get another job. And I'm like, so you're just going to become a waitress at another restaurant?
More the same. Yeah.
And I'm like, and she's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, well, you know, my point with that is that job's available. She's like, yeah, like, you know how many restaurants in Sacramento are hiring right now? And I'm just like, yeah, of course, because I'm helping with grand openings and stuff. But like, I know that there's a lot of restaurants in the area opening. There's a lot of businesses opening. Like, so I can easily just go get another job. I'm like, all right, so you're going to make double, you think, what you make now? She's like, yeah, probably. I'm like, a little light bulb goes off in your head. You're like, you know, this is happening, but then the opportunity is almost equaling it out. Like, if you really want, you know, to just make more money, if that's what your life goal is, you can go make more money. And if you want to just be passionate and be happy about, you know, whatever you want to do, and you want to be that creative, you know. And I'm that creative. Like, there was a point where, like, I was like, all right, I really do not care how much money I make. It's just, I've made this amount of money. I've made that amount of money. No money makes you happy. And I know people say that all the time, but it's all about being comfortable and being happy with what you're doing in your career and your passion. So with that, it's like, all right, well, you know, maybe a loft downtown and being able to live downtown is part of being comfortable and making me happy. Like, okay, now I know how much money I need to make. And I know that Sacramento now has the opportunity for me to make it. So I'll make those sacrifices, right? So, you know, just to kind of circle back on the point is like, you know, we are a growing city and there is gentrification happening in certain areas of the city. But it's not always going to be looked at from a negative standpoint, you know, and I hear it all the time. I mean, I try to, you know, just be a very, very neutral on everything I say because, you know,
it's not on brand for you to take a stance.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and I want to make sure that the people of Sacramento always represents entirely the people of Sacramento. And, you know, I've had where I've voiced my personal opinion and did not end well. Like, you know, because that's stuff I learned over the course of this journey is.
Wait, so this is like a sort of like a discussion that I had with David, right?
Yeah.
David's obviously a very successful artist.
Yeah.
But I think some people would say like some like really strict artistic people would say, yeah, maybe you like left some of your substance behind.
Yeah.
You know, I actually love what he does. I think he's awesome. I don't think he left any substance behind, but I think maybe like some really supposedly like artistically, you know, whole type of people would say you left some substance behind, you know? Yeah. I mean, you just said yourself, you're not purposely not weighing in on issues. You don't do that. Right. Mm-hmm. That's off brand for you. It's not part of who you are. Right.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, you know,
Nonetheless,
things are going on. Things are going on, right?
So, you know, at the end of the day, I am.
How do you keep it substantive?
Yeah, I am the person that represents, you know, the page, and you know, my opinion does come out, whether it's from my personal life, you know, if I'm talking about where I'm from, and you know, I've voiced that opinion, I've taken some backlash on that, you know, heavily. If I, you know, with like a lot of the police brutality, or you know, I back one cause that's going on in the city, I will get it from either side, right? They're gonna like, all right, well, you know, you shouldn't have said this, or you know, why are you saying that? Like, you know, you a lot of people look at what you're saying from the standpoint, like you need to make sure that you know, you agree with what you're saying. Like, yeah, of course I do. Like, that's what I'm saying. But like, well, what about the rest of the people? I'm like, yeah, but you need to understand this is my personal blog. This is what it started as. Yeah. You know, it started.
You're tuning into my blog.
It literally you know, started as in my personal blog, and that's what it continues to be. It's genuine. You know, if, like, I have an idea about something, and I'm like, wow, I feel passionate about this. It's going on in the city. I'm gonna write it. You know, there's an example where. How long ago was that? That was probably like 2-3 years ago too, where someone got stabbed in Midtown. And I wrote a letter because someone got stabbed, then I seen someone got shot in South Sac, and I was like, wow, this is crazy. Like,
I was at Vanguard the other day. I was at Vanguard the other day, and nothing against Vanguard, I just don't usually go.
Yeah.
So I hadn't seen the bouncer there in a while, but the bouncer was in a bulletproof vest. And so I was hanging out at that balcony.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, they make you put that on? And he's like, nah, you know, the other place I was working at, somebody got shot. And, you know, 2 years before that, I was somewhere and someone got stabbed.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I got to, you know, it's uncomfortable, but I got a baby boy at home and I'm not missing out on going home to him for nothing. You know, I was like, wow, God, that's really serious. You know, for all of you out there at the club, keep it real. Keep it real. Everyone has to go home at the end of the night. You're there to have fun.
Exactly. But yeah, to your point is I wrote a letter on People of Sac that was completely my opinion. And it was literally an open letter.
It was literally, don't stab each other.
Yeah, literally.
And
it was an open letter. You took
grief for don't stab each other?
Literally an open letter to the people of Sacramento to stop violence.
Yeah.
That's it, right? I was like, stop violence in Sacramento, stop violence in the city, you know, talked about it. I mean, I wish I can go pull it up. It's probably deep now, but I just, you know, talked about a number of topics. talked about where I'm from, you know, because I'm Palestinian, and talked about the correlation there to violence and peace around the world. And,
yeah, and the normalization of violence, right, where it just becomes like a normal thing. Yeah,
you know, and Fox 40 picked it up, KCRA picked it up, Good Day picked it up, all featured it, right? Fox 40 decided to call me a city leader at the time. And calling a brown boy a city leader when he's talking about violence does not go well with a certain group of people. Sure. So, you know, that was the first time that I got seriously attacked. Like, Fox 40 called me a city leader. Thank you, Fox 40. Appreciate it. So
you think they knew what they were doing?
Fox 40?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, no, it was all positive on their end,
okay,
for sure.
Okay.
When it came to the people that, you know, went on Twitter, they lost their mind. You know, I had people just going nuts at me for my personal opinion.
Who is this 20-year-old kid and call himself a leader, blah, 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 blah. No, really. I'm pro-violence.
And it wasn't even that. It was like stuff I mentioned in there, like, you know, they called me, I don't even want to bring up the words they called me, but, yeah, you know, they just like went through every single blog post I ever made, picked out every single flaw I ever posted, and tweeted it to me.
Oh, my God.
So every grammatical error I made, they tweeted it to me. And, like, I was like, ah, that's crazy. But, substance.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, this is what it is. Like, I'm going to voice my opinion. And at that time, I was like, I don't care. Like, if these people are mad about it, they can be mad about it. But at the end of the day, this whole platform, the people of Sacramento, was created to be a community page and to leave an everlasting positive impact.
Right, right.
Get positive vibes. Only promote positivity. Yeah. Only promote happiness and empowerment and creativity.
So now, will you still speak your mind when you feel like you have to, or you try to shy away from it, or what? You know,
because you're MPR. I still do if I'm passionate yeah. enough about the topic. I mean, if it's going to go on the actual blog, or it's going to go on Instagram, or if it's going to go on Twitter, if it's going to go on my Insta story, yeah. it's going to go out, because at the end of the day, I'm like, I have a.
And that's why you did it, is to empower community, and you can't stay totally bland, right?
Yeah.
Can I talk about this in the
belief?
Yeah. Can I talk about this in the context of PR?
Yeah.
And in the context of sort of like this town in particular, because we're so heavily influenced by politics. Mm-hmm. I am so sick and tired of all the fake politicians running around here, all the aspiring politicians, and all the people that need to stay totally neutral and everything, but are like sort of like, you know, community leaders or whatever, but don't ever have anything to actually say.
Yeah.
Okay. Like I had someone else on the show, mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, well, you know, this thing happened, it's a tragedy. We're talking about Stephon Clark. Mm-hmm. This thing happened, it's a tragedy. But, you know, oh, well, the police did a great job, and city council did a great job, and they did a great job. I'm not saying it's anyone's fault, but, you know, and everyone did such a great job. I was like, wait, no, someone didn't do a great job, because that kid's dead.
Yeah.
Okay? So if you're going to say something, like, have the courage to actually say something meaningful, yes. right? And I think, I mean, frankly, that's actually part of the problem with, you know, a lot of the social positioning around here is like, mm-hmm. you know, you do keep it real, and I actually really appreciate that about you. It's part of why I wanted to have you on here. But a lot of people are just like, well, I got to be very political about this, got to be very political about that. It's like, okay, well, then brother, what are you about?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's just voice your opinion, right? And it's sometimes like, all right, I'm going to say this. I already know that I'm going to lose 10,000 followers today. But where are my values? Do I care about these 10,000 followers? That there's one... I did a huge post about women's empowerment in the Women's March.
Yeah.
And I lost like...
10,000 misogynists?
No, like, I lost like 2,000 followers. And I'm like, and the worst part is my followers were arguing in the comments for like 3 days straight.
Yeah.
On this post for the Women's March and women's empowerment. And I, you know, I come in there and, you know, I give my opinion and I try to shut down and put out fires because I don't want anybody arguing. But at the end of the day, I'm still giving my opinion. So I'm always going to side with what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and how we can empower women and how, you know, women are the future in many ways. But, you know, it's just nuts because people will bring in the most random things. They'll bring up, you know, the president, or they'll bring up this or that. And they will be like, oh, just because you are blah, of course that's what you think, or this is what your beliefs are. And, you know, if I was not a Middle Eastern dude, their perspective of it would be very, like, oh, very women's empowerment. Right?
Why don't you think about how Middle Eastern people treat women? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yeah. Those things are like that come up, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
intersectionalities.
Do you understand what my opinion is? And do you understand how ignorant those people come? I don't think they understand how ignorant they come off a lot of the time.
I think a lot of
them. Because it's a lack of education.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a lack of education in certain topics, I learned at a young age, like my mom taught me, if you don't know what you're talking about, don't talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, educate yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, that happens a lot, when especially on social media, which is, I mean, it's all about just, it's, I mean, the craziest things, but, you know, it's all stuff that happens in Sacramento. And,
yeah,
and coming from the most diverse place, like I was mentioning, you know, as a city, we're so diverse. It's surprising when stuff like that happens here, especially to that level.
So, wow, there's a lot to unpack there. I'm kind of interested in sort of talking about this. I think one of the things that sort of happened that's been really sort of torn away at our national politics mm-hmm. is that we've started making these like political arguments almost like pick a side, like what side are you on?
Yeah.
Almost like it's a football game, you know? It's like, I'm blindly on this side, mm-hmm. you know? I'm blindly Trump or I'm blindly Bernie or I'm blindly, you know? And then it doesn't matter, like, it doesn't matter what the actual substance of the argument is. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll be against something as simple as, hey, let's empower women.
Yeah.
You know? We started really attacking each other for our identities and beliefs. I mean, we've kind of always been doing it, but it's really at an all-time high. Mm-hmm. And I think what you said there is, like, there's a lot of ignorance to it where it's like people don't understand where other people are coming from.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I saw, you know, we just saw, like, an example on the right, and I'll give an example on the left. Yeah. You know, for a long time, there was a sense where, like, well, if you're not okay with gay marriage, you must be a bigot. Mm-hmm. Well, I get why people would say that, but mm-hmm. let me use my grandma as an example. Mm-hmm. She finished the American equivalent of seventh grade. She's Mexican Catholic. Mm-hmm. The highest authority in the world to her is the Pope.
Yeah.
He says it's not okay.
Yeah.
Now, grandma came around to it. She came around to, you know, she came around to supporting gay marriage. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, did you have to call her a bigot? That probably didn't help.
No.
You probably didn't make yourself any friends there. Mm-hmm. You know, like in that sense, you were kind of uneducated about where grandma's coming from.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And you're not going to make friends calling grandma a bigot. Mm-hmm. Right. And so like, I feel like we kind of, like everyone kind of does that, you know, to some extent. We're like, we're all guilty of it, you know?
Yeah.
You keep talking a lot about community and, like, I think maybe this is a good question to end it on. Okay. Community in America, like in the 1950s, was a lot easier to define. In that post-World War II generation, everyone was, for the most part, white and black, lived in different neighborhoods. It was very distinct, very defined.
Yeah.
For the most part, we're mostly like a Protestant nation. Mm-hmm. There was just less people in the country back then too, right? We weren't as diverse. It was easier to kind of have a sense of like, hey, this is Americana, right? Mm-hmm. Now we got Persian sitting at a table with a Mexican. Mm-hmm. You know, right, you know, in a black neighborhood, Oak Park is just right over there.
Yeah.
So what does that mean for you? You're trying to highlight community, but it's almost like, man, what community? We're so, like, how do you put a pulse on that now? Because it's so different than it used to be, right?
You know, and that is, it's a great point, you know, because with the whole brand, you know, just looking at the umbrella of things and Home is Sacramento and, you know, where I stand on all that is, you know, I want to work effortlessly to just bring that more together, you know, change that gap. I want to have every race, no matter what language, no matter what religion you speak, just unite, right? And I think that one of Sacramento's biggest strengths obviously is our diversity, because we have every single, you know, person here, but it's more than that. It's, you know, we have all these people coming from around the world, from, you know, different states, you know, different beliefs, and they're moving here. I mean we have, believe it or not, we have a big refugee population here in Sacramento. You know, all these people, their minds, you know, and how they will impact the community and the world, you know, if they get an education, if they go get a job, if they start a restaurant, if they start a business, you know, it's really going to change who we are as a city. You know, and you never know what these people can create. You never know. You know, one refugee that just moved to Sacramento yesterday could be the guy that's going to, or girl that's going to have the cure to cancer.
Yeah, Steve Jobs' father was a Syrian immigrant.
And then I believe that, like, there were refugees at one point as well. And, like, but going back to that, it's like, you know, you really have to think about that and think about, you know, what humanity and what Sacramento being your home, you know, and their home and all these people's home that are, I mean, whether you live here for a day or a year or 2 years or your entire life, you need to think about how you take that person and you position them to be as successful as they possibly can be.
Right.
And at the end of the day, that's what the people of Sacramento is about, is taking those people and making sure that they have the resources. Because if I had all the money in the world, you know, my main goal in life is, you know, People of Sac is going to become a nonprofit. I mean, whether it's next week or whenever I get around to filing that and pushing that through. And, you know, what I really found it to be, and I realized this, I mean, believe it or not, last week, is, you know, as I'm living my life more, you know, opening businesses, you know, having successful client campaigns, whatever it is I'm like, man, you know, like, my true purpose at the end of the day is to go back to what I started People of Sac for, and that is to empower. And if that means starting this nonprofit, using any business I open as a funnel of revenue to power it, and if a kid wants to be an artist and he's like, man, I really want to become an artist, I'm from whatever area and I just don't have the money, I'm like, wow. Well, all
right, boom, here we go. Let's do it.
Here's your paint. Here's your canvas. Try. Here's a lesson. Try, right?
Yeah.
Kid wants to be a graphic designer. Here's a laptop with whatever programs you need, right? A kid wants to go to school. I don't know. Hopefully I can get to the point where we can pay as a brand tuitions for kids. But, you know, like,
but stuff, you can stuff be part like of a that. Patchwork you, that gets people there.
Yeah. And you just start small, right? But that's the next lane is, you know, and a lot of people are like, wow, is that like really what you want to do? Yes, it is. Like, that's really, really, really what I want to do with the rest of my life is help people like just succeed and do their passion. If there's a kid out there that listens to this and like, wow, that podcast was sick. Like, I want to do podcasts. Like, okay, well, I need to buy the equipment. Yeah. Can't buy the equipment. Now they all obviously now, because, you know, with anything you do, you have the passion, but there's always going to be barriers, right?
Yeah.
You know, my barrier, believe it or not, was I didn't have a camera. And, I might have, you know, whatever, had a job, had a business, sold the business, but like, I was still living off that money. And I was trying to build more things. I'm like, man, $1,000 for a camera right now. Like, but if I didn't buy that camera,
none of this would happen.
Right? Because I would have never started taking pictures. Would have never did any of that. And now I don't even have a camera. I use my iPhone for everything. But it's because, you know, that one tool or that one thing, that one that one tool that I needed that was a barrier. And once I got it, I was like, wow, I got this. Let me continue to stay inspired. I'm like, I just spent this much money on a camera. I'm damn sure use it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what the community really means to me. But I just want to make an impact. You know, I want to make an impact that is not about me for sure. You know, so even doing podcasts like this is like weird to me because, you know, I'd rather this be the opposite where I'm getting your story right now. Like, why did you start this? Why are you doing this? Right.
Yeah.
So then like it can continue to grow. But it's just really about that. It's just about like, all right, how do we make the impact, that, you know, kids, that adults can relate to and truly find, the next part of their journey and their life. So they stay happy, they stay healthy, and just make Sacramento more and more of a destination city. So more and more people move here, more and more people travel here, more and more people discover the people of Sacramento, and why so many of us call it home and refuse to let anybody talk shit about it.
Very cool. Zane, at the People of Sacramento on Instagram, encouraging people to live their passion and pursue their dreams. Thanks for coming on, bro. Yeah,
thank you. Much appreciated. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Boom. Thank you.